Good morning.
Well, it's good to see all of you in the building, in the auditorium this morning. All our friends in the hallway of the foyer, please come on in. It's a minute after 10. I'm sorry, I was talking and it got slipped up on me. But thank you for being here. It seems like it's been 2024 for a long time. I don't know why it seems that way. But this is the first Sunday, and we're sure glad you're here. Good to have Adam back. He's missed a few Sundays, but he wanted to start the new year right. He said, start now and keep on coming. So that's a great idea. And good to see all of you. Thank you for those on the internet for being part of the services today. We had a wonderful, wonderful December, and we finished it up with tremendous services last week with Brother Tom Wagner. You pray for him. He's preaching today over at Lighthouse Baptist Church with Brother Tim. Brother Tim. Anyhow, Brother Tim's the pastor over there. Tim Boone could tell me his last name. I'm going crazy. But anyhow, Brother Tim's the pastor over there, Bass, Brother Tim Bass. And so remember them in prayers. He's preaching over there today. Let's bow together for a word of prayer and ask God's blessing. We have some on the phone tree and others that you know about. And several of our church family are still battling the crud and the flu and viruses and first one thing to another. And some have had surgeries and recovering. You pray for Brother Dwayne. He goes back in the morning for a follow-up in regard to the prostate situation, cancer he has, and checked PSA. We're going to pray it's completely clear. And, boy, what a blessing to have Billy and Dia back in the services this morning. And you remember them in prayer. Father, we thank you now for a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. A new year to love you and serve you. Lord, we're praying for more this week, with this month, and the rest of this year. God, help us to be more dedicated to you, more surrendered, more faithful to you. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now will breathe this morning. Thank you so much for Brother Barry, for his example of faithfulness. Lord, for the fact that you've used him for all these years and still using him, will continue to use him to teach the Word of God. We pray for Miss Francis, and Lord, we ask your blessing on them. We know the situation there, and Lord, it's an ongoing thing, and it's a very tiring situation, but I'm thankful, God, that you've given him strength and her strength, and God, you continue to bless. Thank you now for this time together, and we ask your blessing, Father, on the Word of God and on the man of God, and we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. While Brother Barry is coming this way, we did adopt our church budget and a slate of teachers and offers for the coming year. We had a few vacancies. One of those was an assistant for Brother Barry. And I didn't get to call Brother Barry. I'm sorry I didn't get to call you, Brother Barry. But as we were getting ready to leave, Brother Johnny Deal came up Wednesday night, and he said, I would like to volunteer to be Brother Barry's assistant. He said, I was a teacher. I hadn't taught in a while, but I feel like the Lord's really working in my heart. So we praise the Lord. Brother Johnny's around here somewhere. I saw him. I think he's doing, not jury duty, security. It had something to do with that. Brother Barry, I want you to do this. Let's just honor the man of God and thank God for Brother Barry this morning.
Thank you much. Again, good morning to you. Thank the Lord that he's blessed us that we might gather again together and start us a new year in the Word of God. And we're going to continue, Lord willing, in the book of Revelation in a few moments. But before we do, if you allow me, I want to address one more thing as we've studied the birth of Christ and the examples that we saw in the birth of Christ. Because I think that there's something here that we need to see before we totally close that out. And then we'll try to do that right quick and go on to the book of Revelation. Again, I appreciate your presence. I thank you for putting up with me every Sunday for this past year. And Lord willing, I hope that we'll have another great year together. And here at Benson Grove, and if we don't, I know we'll have a great year with him, because it's not going to be here, it's going to be eternally with him. But I do thank you for your presence today. If you will, bow with me for just a moment in a word of prayer, and then we go to Matthew, the second chapter, and just look at a couple of things there together. Lord, again, we come today realizing, Lord, that within ourselves we have no ability to express any of your blessed, precious word. Lord, we know that we know those things that are recorded in your precious word and written to us because of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that you used, Lord, to pen it and present it to us that we might have it as a guide to a life. That it also might be that word that tells us about your Son and the love that you and He had for this world that we live in. And Lord, we thank you one day the precious Holy Spirit worked a work in my heart and drawed me to you that I might know you in saving grace and know the joy and the happiness and the comfort and the blessings that it is to be a child of yours. Lord, now we go open your precious word this morning and we ask that you'd walk us through it, that you direct our thoughts and our understanding by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we might learn more about you, might be drawn closer to you, might be more thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us and how blessed we are. Again, not only this time of the service today, but Lord, all that takes place here this day, we'd ask that you lead God direct in it. Would you take Brother Billy and hide him behind the cross? And Lord, may the blessed word of God touch your heart this day. May somebody come to know you in saving grace that don't know you. Bless as only you can now. May you be exalted that we might be humbled. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now, as we have been studying the Christmas story, and I know we basically ended it, but there's one more thing that I want us to pay attention to for just a moment, if you'd allow me. In the second chapter of the book of Matthew, when we find that the wise men came by and they give the gifts and worship the Son, the Savior, our Christ. In the 13th verse, it says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and to be there till I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And he arose and took the young child and his mother by night," notice by night, "and they parted into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled." And here's one of those fulfillments again, one of those things that had been prophesied. He said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." So we find that then Mary and Joseph take Christ and they go down to Egypt because of Herod. Now, I want us to look for just a moment carefully at this 16th verse. Now, let's put things in perspective for just a moment. If you allow me. Herod is what? Who is Herod? Herod is king, right? So he is king, and he's worried about his throne because he's heard about that Christ. The wise man said, "Where is he that is king of the Jews?" So he has seen now that there's someone that could take his throne from him. And he's concerned about that. So now let me put something in perspective for you for just a moment. Who's the prince and the power of the air? Okay, we have the devil that's the prince and the power of the air. So he has an earthly kingdom. He is ruler, so to speak, of the earth at the present time. This is his abode. You know, that's like when God was talking about Job. He asked him, "Where you been?" He says, "Up and down the breadth of the earth." So this is his territory, so to speak. So, the same perspective. This same Jesus that Herod's worried about is that same Jesus that Satan worries about all the time. Because he knows that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one of these days, his throne's going to be taken away from him. His abode, this earth, is going to be taken away from him. So he's concerned about Christ. And he has been concerned, and we know that because we've seen that time after time, he tried to do what? He's tried to destroy Christ. He thought when he was nailed to the cross, he had succeeded in doing away with him. He just didn't realize there's going to be a resurrection in 3 days. He had comfort for 3 days and it was over. So here we find, I think with Herod, it's a great example of Satan because he's worried about his throne. He's worried about his power. He's worried about his authority. He's worried about his position here in Jerusalem. Now in verse number 16, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, that kind of tickled me a little bit when I read that, because that happened to Satan with Christ all the time. He thinks he's got everything figured out, and he finds out Christ was way ahead of him. God was way ahead of him. He stays ahead of him. He says, when he found out he was mocked by the wise men, he was exceedingly happy. What does that say? He was exceedingly mad, wrought. Now watch. And he sent forth to do what? You'd have to be mighty upset to do something like he's fixing to do. I cannot imagine the decree going out from a king to kill all the children under 2 years old. Now that's, it's hard for, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to comprehend that. But man will do anything. There's nothing man won't do. And there's nothing Satan won't do either. And to see, I've got to get that one who might take my throne from me. And I don't care how many I hurt in the process of it. And Satan don't care how many he hurts in this world that we live in. He just wants to accomplish his goal of staying in power and authority. So he says he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, but he just didn't stop in Bethlehem. Where else did he go? He said in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under. Now I want you to notice something when you see this next statement. He says, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, if you look at verse number 7 of chapter number 2, it says, then Herod, when he had probably called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And Herod here was relating the time that they saw that star to the time that Christ was born. And he had figured that timetable out and said, well, if I'll get all the children from 2 years old and under, then I'll get Christ. But the problem is, God's always a step ahead, like we said. So what has God done? God has already told Mary and Joseph, says, you pack up your stuff and head down to Egypt and get out from under that authority of Herod. So they go. But then look at verse number 17. See, we've just found in verse number 15 there was a prophecy fulfilled that he would come from Egypt. Then we see another prophecy. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice that heard lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. So we know that there's much pain, suffering, and mourning over in Bethlehem over those children that had been killed by Herod. Now notice verse number 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord came and appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Egypt, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Egypt. But what? What's happened? Yes, Herod has passed away, but he's got a son. And that son, here we find that Joseph and Mary is a little bit afraid of that situation because he was reigning instead of his father. And it says in the latter part of that 22nd verse, that he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned. So God's always a step ahead. Always a step ahead. Even though there was fear in Joseph, God said, I'm going to set the record totally straight, give you total comfort. Don't go back. He warned him not to go back. Warned of God in a dream, and he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled. Do you can you see here is in just these few verses, we have seen three times where God's word has been fulfilled that was prophesied or spoken of. Might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet. He shall be called a Nazarene. And that closes my Christmas story. But that shows me and comforts me to know that God's always a step ahead of Satan in everything he does. And when Satan thinks he's got control, he ain't seen nothing yet, if you pardon that language.
Right.
Because we know who's in charge. Now, we're going to leave the birth of Christ and we're going to go to Revelations. And if you think he's in control here, you look how he's controlled in Revelations again as we pick up our study again in the book of Revelations. And we want to go to the 14th chapter, kind of where we left off. Now, I need maybe to kind of bring you abreast a little bit as to where we are. Tribulation period lasts how long? All right, 7 years. First 3.5 years of the tribulation, we can say it's tribulation, but when we look at the last 3.5 years, we can say great tribulation. Because there's no comparison hardly at all between the first 3.5 and the last 3.5. Now, where we are today is the middle part of that tribulation period. And Christ is, God's fixing to pour out the wrath and judgment of the Almighty God on this earth. Now, what we're going to see when we're studying Revelation, you have to be careful in the study. Because everything is not in sequence. You have things that are parenthetical. They're filled in. And what we have this morning as we look at it is that we're going to get a glimpse now of the final 3.5 years all the way to the end of the tribulation, because we're going to be looking at a certain people and a certain situation with those people. So just keep that in mind. Now, the middle of the tribulation period, Satan has come and he has possessed Antichrist. and all havoc is beginning to take place. But some things are done in the process. Now, in chapter number 14, verse number 1, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 and 4,000 having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harps harping with their harps. And they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 and 4,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with the woman, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." Now I want us to look at this carefully. What follows the tribulation period? You have the rapture of the church. You have the tribulation period. And what's next? All right, what is the millennial reign? Millennial reign is 1,000 years that Christ will reign here on this earth. He will sit on the throne of David, and he will reign. It's for the nation of Israel, basically. A promise made to the nation of Israel that he would be their earthly king, and that he would sit on the throne of David, and he would rule over them as an earthly nation. And what we're looking at here is right on through tribulation to the beginning of the millennial reign. Now look at this with me, if you will. And let's see if you know, some people have different perspectives of it. But now I want you to think about something. Let me go back. Let's just do a little bit of review for just a moment. Let's go back to chapter number 12 for just a little bit. I want you to look at verse number 4. Satan is cast out of heaven. And it said he drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as it was born. Now, here we find that there's a woman that's fixing to give birth to a child. Now, I want us to follow this woman for just a moment. Now, in verse number 5, it says, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that she should that they should feed her 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. So now this woman flees into a place prepared of God that she might be there and be protected for 3.5 years, or the balance of the tribulation period. So this woman represents the nation of Israel. Okay? Now, we find also that as we go back and look again now, that we've got 144,000 If you remember, I think it's in chapter number 4, I believe it is, where some destruction was fixing to take place in the earth, and it says, hold, stop, hold the four winds of the earth, that they blow not until they've sealed some people. And there was 144,000 that we're talking about now in chapter number 14. There were 144,000 that were sealed in the forehead. Okay? Now I want you to think about something for just a moment. Every one of those was from a tribe of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Now what do we see? Why didn't he just say 144,000, period? But he didn't. He says you take 12 from every one of the tribes until you get to 144,000. And see what we do? We have the whole of the nation of Israel represented. You've got every tribe of the original nation of Israel that's represented by 144,000. Now notice it says they have sealed with the seal of God in their forehead. They are a chosen, set vessel for God. And I don't care what Satan tries, or any of his demons or his devils, he cannot touch that 144,000. Now, what we see when we begin this 14th chapter, you remember we talked about the two witnesses? I believe to be Enoch and Elijah, some think Enoch and Moses, that's either there, a person, whoever God wants is who it's going to be. Now they start preaching the gospel message. Two witnesses. Immediately we've got 144,000 Jews that received that message. They're sealed by the hand of God Almighty. Protective seal. You can't do anything with them, Satan. You might try. Now, if you look, those two witnesses, what has happened to them? They were called of God. They were special for that period of time. But Satan has killed those two witnesses. Remember, they are killed. Their bodies lie 3 days. The world might see them. You know, we go back and think. If I had to go back and think when I was a boy and say the world's going to see them, ain't no way in the world could see all of them. But boy, nowadays, you pick your phone up and see them lying there in the street. And they lay there for 3.5 days. And then what happened? They arose. But you see, they were killed. Now, here we've got 144,000 that's got the seal of God in them that Satan can't touch. They are in a physical body. They must remain in a physical body because you've got to have physical people going into the millennial reign. Physical just like we are. They've got to be physical. Christ is going to sit on the throne of David and he's going to reign over the nation of Israel. They've been looking for a king, looking for Messiah all this time. They're going to have one of these days. And as we look at this, we look right on through the last 3.5 years of tribulation, and we look at the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. Now watch this. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. Mount Zion, David's throne is. He's standing earthly on Mount Zion. Now remember, I said this is at the end of the tribulation. Millennial fixing to be ushered in. He's standing here on Mount Zion. And with him is 144,000 having his Father's name written in their forehead. Now, let's don't get confused because we're looking at an earthly thing here as a throne. We're looking at the earthly throne in the millennial reign of Christ. Now, I lost you completely this morning. And he said, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. They got a special song. Not only the 144,000 could sing. Now, it talks about the elders. We talked about the elders around the throne of God. I believe that here's one of those times when you're going to have a chorus from us as the saints of God have already been resurrected. And those 144,000 who are still here on this earth in the physical body that know the redemption song now because he's given them that redemption song. And I think we're going to harmonize together as we sing about the redemptive plan of Almighty God. It says they've been redeemed. Now, let's go a little bit farther. And they sang, as it were, that new song. Where are they singing it at? It says before the throne. Well, where did I say God's throne was going to be during the millennial? God's throne is going to be here on the earth during the millennial. This is the millennial reign. And it says they sang before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn the song but the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth or redeemed through the tribulation of it. These are they which were not defiled with the woman, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Now, it says, these are those who did what? Were not defiled with the woman. See, what are we going to have in the latter part of the tribulation period? When the middle of the tribulation period comes and Satan comes and possesses Antichrist, the covenant with the nation of Israel that they might go back to the temple, build them a temple, Palestine, worship, do like just like they did in the olden time. He made a covenant pact with the Jews that they can do that. But in the middle of the tribulation period, when Satan comes and possesses Antichrist, all that goes away. He breaks that covenant. And it's total havoc now that's taking place. That covenant is broken. He kills the two witnesses. And now, who do you think is going to take residence in the temple of God? See, we've got the harlot church, the Babylonian church. Satan himself, he's going to go and sit on the temple on the seat of God. That harlot church. And here he says that we've got that 144,000 who are virgins that didn't participate. Of all the problems and the pressures and the things that they go through during the tribulation period, they do not yield to the pressure of Satan and his harlot church. They stay clean. They stay, says they're virgins. And he says, these are they which do what? Follow. You look at the fourth verse, you look at the middle part, it says, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit of what? Unto God and unto the Lamb. The first fruits of those that's going into the kingdom. It says they're doing what? He says they're following the Lamb and they're following God. They've not been defiled. An unusual 144,000. If there's ever been any human beings that walked the face of this earth in a physical body that was near perfect, I think you see 144,000 here. That's as near perfect as man could ever get. You see, you got to have physical people going into the millennial. And I think here's the first fruits of those going into the millennial reign of Christ. Special call. And Satan can't do not one thing with them. And they says, what are they doing? And they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Total obedient to the voice and the leadership of God during the tribulation period, and didn't break down under the pressure, and God's rewarding them. Now, we're going to revert back again to something as we go to verse number six. How bad has it got on the earth in the latter part of the tribulation period? Satan, with all his power and all his authority, has shut the mouth of man when it comes to the gospel preaching. He's killed the two witnesses. More, I know that. He tries his best to slay these 144,000, but he can't. But one thing that it appears that he has accomplished, I don't have any scripture where I can say, yeah, look at this scripture and it says what it did. But it appears that he shut the mouth of that 144,000 missionaries too. And now we've got an earth here that there is no one that can speak the word of God. So we're going to get another overview now. Something that's going to take place in the latter part of that tribulation period. So what do we see in verse number 6? And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the what? Everlasting gospel of the good news. He said, I've got there. He had the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell where? On the earth, and to every nation, and every kindred, and every tongue, and every people. Now, Satan thinks he stopped it, but he ain't got it all yet. So God said, now I'm going to send angels. And they're going to broadcast the gospel to every nation, to every people, and every tongue, and all the whole earth. The angels will preach. They're going to preach the gospel. They're going to preach the everlasting gospel. But the thing of it is, there's three angels here now. So let's look. And it says, saying with a loud voice, first angel now, he says, fear God, give glory to him, For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and fountains of water. You better pay attention, he says. Now notice this. Let me read this to you again now. That angel comes in verse number 6 with the everlasting gospel, and it says, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying. Now this is what he's going to be saying. Notice what he's going to be saying. He's saying with a loud voice, it's going to be broadcasted from the sky. A loud voice, fear who? Fear God. You better listen to me. I'm telling you, you better listen to me. And you better fear God, because something fixing to happen. I'm warning you one more time. Something's fixing to happen. He said, and give glory to him for the what? Hour. Hour of what's coming? It does not say hour of judgment. It says hour of what? His. Underline that. Draw a circle around it. There's an hour coming. There's a time coming. It's getting very close. And his judgment is going to fall on the face of this earth. It's coming. And it says, and worship him. This is who you need to be looking to now. This is the way you're going to escape the judgment. You're going to fear that God. His judgment's coming. The hour is now present. It is at hand. And he says, now what you need to do is turn to him and worship him who made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of water. In other words, he has made, created this whole universe. It's his. And he's fixing to deal with it like he wants to deal with it. And at this present time, he's fixing to bring his judgment on it. Because now it's time for judgment, not grace. And then the next angel steps up. And I've got 2 minutes. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Here's Satan's church. So what do we see? And I'll close with this. God's sentence on the great apostate church, Satan's church, Satan's followers. Here's judgment coming. Time's gone. We'll pick it up next Sunday, Lord willing. We'll be looking at what that third angel said. And that third angel says, tough times are present. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today.